bhagavate vasudevaya
om namo bhagavate vasudevaya
om namo bhagavate vasudevaya
om namo bhagavate vasudevaya
bhagavate vasudevaya
om namo bhagavate vasudevaya
continuing this morning canto 3 chapter 19 Start with 31. Maitreya Uvacha. We heard Hiranyaksha. It's finished. The demigods, Lord Brahma, and the demigods came forward, glorifying the personality of Godhead, and the now the wrap-up. Sri Maitreya continued. After thus killing the most formidable demon, Hiranyaksha, the Supreme Lord Hari, the origin of the boar species, returned to his own abode, where there's always an uninterrupted festival. The Lord was praised by all the demigods headed by Brahma. Purport. The Lord is spoken of herewith as the origin of the boar species. In the, as stated in the Vedanta Sutras 112, the Absolute Truth is the origin of everything. Therefore, it is to be understood that all 8,400,000 species of bodily forms originate from the Lord, who is always Adi, or the beginning. In Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna addresses the Lord as Adiyam, or the original. Similarly, in Brahma Samhita, the Lord is addressed as Adi Purusha, the original person. Indeed, in Bhagavad Gita 10.8, the Lord himself declares Matak Paratram Matak Sarvam Pravartate, from me everything proceeds. Paragraph. In this situation, the Lord assumed the shape of a boar to kill the demon Hiranyaksha and pick up the earth from the Garbha ocean. Thus he became Adi Shukara, the original boar. In the material world, a boar, or pig, is considered most abominable. But the Adi Sukara, the Supreme Personality Godhead, was not treated as an ordinary boar. Even Lord Brahma and the other demigods praised the Lord's form as a boar. Paragraph. This verse confirms the statement in Bhagavad Gita that the Lord appears as he is from his transcendental abode. But for the sake of killing the miscreants and saving the devotees by killing the demon Hiranyaksha, he fulfilled his promise to kill the demons and always protect the demigods headed by Brahma. The statement that the Lord returned to his own abode indicates that he has his own particular transcendental residence. Since he is full of all energies, he is all-pervasive in spite of his residing in Goloka Vrindavan, just as the sun, although situated in a particular place within the universe, is present by its sunshine throughout the universe. Paragraph. Although the Lord has this particular abode in which to reside, he is all-pervasive. Same point. The impersonalists accept one aspect of the Lord's features, the all-pervasive aspect, but they cannot understand his localized situation in his transcendental abode, where he always engages in fully transcendental pastimes. Especially mentioned in this verse is the word akanditotsavam. Utsava means pleasure, festival. Whenever some function takes place to express happiness, it is called utsava. Utsava, the expression of complete happiness, is always present in the Vaikuntha Lokas, the abode of the Lord, who is worshipable even by demigods like Brahma, to say nothing of other less important entities, such as human beings. And then the final paragraph here. The Lord descends from his abode to this world, and therefore he is called avatar, which means one who descends. Sometimes avatar is understood to refer to an incarnation who assumes a material form of flesh and bone, but actually avatar refers to one who descends from higher regions. The Lord's abode is situated far above this material sky, and he descends from that higher position, thus he is called avatar. Let's read further. Maitreya continued, "My dear Vidura, I have explained to you the personality of Godhead's coming down as the first boar incarnation and killing in a great fight a demon of unprecedented prowess as if he were just a plaything. This has been narrated by me as I heard it from my predecessor spiritual master." Report here, the sage Maitreya admits that he explained the incident of the killing of Hiranyaksha by the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a straight narration, semicolon. He did not manufacture anything or add interpretation, but explained whatever he had heard from his spiritual master. Thus he accepted as bona fide the system of parampara, or receiving the transcendental message in descending succession. Unless received by the bona fide process of hearing from a spiritual master, the statement of an acharya or preceptor cannot be valid. Paragraph. It is also stated here that although the demon Hiranyaksha was unlimited in prowess, it was just like a doll for the Lord. A child breaks so many dolls without real endeavor. Similarly, although a demon may be very powerful and extraordinary in the eyes of an ordinary man in the material world, to the Lord, killing such a demon is no difficulty. He can kill millions of demons as simply as a child plays with dolls and breaks them. Text 33. Sutta Goswami continued, "My dear Brahmana, Kshata or Vidura, the great devotee of the Lord, achieved transcendental bliss by hearing the narration of the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the authoritative source of the sage Kosharava or Maitreya, and he was very pleased. Purport, if anyone wants to derive transcendental pleasure by hearing the past tense of the Lord, he must hear from the authoritative source, as explained here. Maitreya heard the narration from his bona fide spiritual master, and Vidura also heard from Maitreya. One becomes an authority simply by presenting whatever he has heard from his spiritual master, and one who does not accept a bona fide spiritual master cannot be an authority. This is clearly explained here. If one wants to have transcendental pleasure, he must find in a person with authority. It is also stated in the Bhagavatam that simply by hearing from the from an authoritative source with the ear and the heart, one can relish the pastimes of the Lord. Otherwise, it is not possible. Sanatana Goswami, therefore, has especially warned that one should not hear anything about the personality of the Lord from the lips of a non-devotee. Non-devotees are considered to be like serpents. As milk is poisoned by a serpent's touch, so, although the narration of the pastimes of the Lord is as pure as milk, when administered by serpent-like non-devotees, it becomes poisonous. Not only does it have no effect in transcendental pleasure, but it is dangerous also. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has warned that no description of the pastimes of the Lord should be heard from a Mayavada or impersonalist school. It is clearly said, Mayavadi Bhasya Shunile Haya Sarvanash. If anyone hears the Mayavadi's interpretation of the pastimes of the Lord, or their interpretation of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, or any other Vedic literature, then he is doomed. Once one is associated with impersonalists, he can never understand the personal feature of the Lord and his transcendental pastimes. Paragraph. Sutta Goswami was speaking to the sages headed by Shaunaka, and therefore he addressed them in this verse as Dvija, twice born. The sages assembled in Naimisharanya, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from Sutta Goswami, were all Brahmanas. But to acquire the qualifications of a Brahmana is not everything. Merely to be twice born is not perfection. Perfection is attained when one hears the pastimes and activities of the Lord from a bona fide source. And last is starts to now move into a different realm. The verses are glorifying, hearing glorifications of a devotee and different forms of the Lord. Getting a picture here of the nature of transcendence. Transcendence is something like the term adhoksaja, beyond the reach of the senses, including the mind. So we can't really know, we can guess, we can use inference, the deductive process. We can deduce it must be like this, or perhaps maybe it is like this. We can't know. So such deductive reasoning is as fallible as the person who's trying to use that tool to understand transcendence. The way to understand transcendence is by disclosure from the realm of transcendence, and we can know. And that's our system. Prabhupada explained that I can meet with any elevated speculator and scientist, somebody, philosopher, and because of my strong convictions in the knowledge of Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, knowledge of the Vedas, I can speak with him very strongly and compellingly. Now, he was good at debate. He said when he was a small boy, he never lost an argument. He was always victorious. And the first time he was defeated was from his spiritual master. Bhakti Siddhanta who defeated him. We have to become independent first. And then we people in the world will listen. Otherwise they'll look down upon us. And they won't take the message seriously. Independence. Swaraj. Without Prabhupada, so again back to this, Prabhupada said, without knowing all the intricacies of their view, a scientist's speculative view on whatever, there's fundamental principles. Morning walk conversations was one of those favorite times that Prabhupada would train the devotees in the art of sticking to transcendental knowledge, and the basis of sticking to transcendental knowledge without knowing the field of science or philosophy or isms, all the different permutations and combinations of those things, just sticking to the fundamental teachings of, just like here, that there's one source of everything. So that one source of everything, how do we know? By disclosure through the Vedas. That's how we know. And the Vedas disclose the position of Krishna. And so we know. We don't have to experiment. We don't have to speculate. We can know. And we can know provided the source is authoritative source. So that's risky, because applying that principle when the source isn't authoritative can certainly reach a wrong conclusion. So how do you know what an authoritative source is? That's also required to understand. The one who has heard from an authoritative source is an authoritative source. Well, you know, then regress. So they must go back to the personality of Godhead in an unbroken line. That's the system. And when that system is intact, receiving two things. Receiving provides an opportunity to understand that which otherwise we can't understand. And second is that receiving then requires a responsibility, and that is you transmit the message transparently. So the focus is going to Maitreya speaking to Vidura, and Maitreya had that capacity and Vidura received, but Maitreya's capacity was because he heard and he's simply repeating, which is exactly what he's saying here. How do we know anything? We know anything through authoritative source. And so then another point is not only we can know, but there is transcendental pleasure. I was thinking like this about the message of Dalai Lama about compassion. If you want to make other people happy, then be compassionate. If you want to be happy, be compassionate. You know, that's a certain kind of happiness. And it's a mode of goodness happiness. What's transcendental happiness? So, you know, we could put, you know, Prabhupada's statement, transcendental happiness is receiving and transmitting knowledge of transcendence. And there's a tushanti cha ramanti cha, transcendental happiness that doesn't compare to mode of goodness happiness. And mode of goodness, people are attached to that happiness. They're expecting the happiness will be that. And so they have a problem if it doesn't. Just thinking, I'll share. I was in Shenzhen and I was introduced to a millionaire person, lady, who wanted to meet because her friend was a devotee, and her friend devotee had a teacher, and Chinese culture teachers are revered, and so she wanted to meet me. And I asked her, why do you want to meet me? And she was very clear about what she wanted to meet. I find happiness by, I don't know the word that she used, but being charitable and giving. So she worked hard to earn the money because she derives happiness by being charitable with the money that she has. And so you're a guru, maybe you can teach me how I can be, her words were, connect with that higher intelligence, because it's sometimes this higher intelligence comes and tells me how to do something, and then, so I know there's this higher intelligence, and you know, maybe you can help me connect with that so that I can be more successful in my enterprise, so that I can be more charitable, so I can find more happiness. And she was quite unreasonable. I tried many different. Intelligence means person, right? And then, you know, after a while, just this cold stare. Don't give me this person thing. I'm not going to submit myself to another person. Many, you know, this higher intelligence, there's compassion in the higher intelligence. You're experiencing happiness giving to others. What's the happiness of this, that source? So just leave the word person out. It's just like, are you a mother? Yes. Do you have a son or a daughter? Daughter. So when you do things for your daughter, you feel happiness, right? And your daughter feels happiness receiving. But isn't it something you would want your daughter, not just when she gets something, to smile and feel happy, but to feel gratitude? So what about you? You know, the gratitude for receiving, not just get something so you can use that something, but the sense of gratitude. She couldn't really follow. Because it points to, when kind of an atheistic happiness, riding a wave of the happiness of being charitable, and I want to be more successful so I can be more charitable, I can get that more happiness. God's out of the picture. she didn't read Shankaracharya's commentary on Bhagavad Gita either. And she said she used to be a Buddhist, but she's not a Buddhist anymore. So there's all varieties of, it boils down to the same, atheistic impersonalism or voidism. It's really silly. You know, a voidist finding happiness through compassion. Emphasis in this section on hearing and hearing from the right source, hearing in a qualitative way from the right source. And that's the means of overcoming our limitations, and it's the way of reaching a position of happiness. And in hearing, another important point is hearing from that transcendental source, then we can break this model, that mental model, that places God in the position as limited like us. So if he's literally unlimited, then he can appear as a boar. He can kill the invincible Hiranyaksha. Interesting example, just like a child breaks a doll. Broke a Hiranyaksha, went smack with his hoof and finished. And because he's the origin of everything, he's the origin of boars. But that boar is not the material form. It's the origin of everything. It's part of the origin of everything, because everything is everything. So the unlimitedness of the source of everything, we won't be able to accept it without the Absolute has unlimited potency. It's such a simple point, and it's such an essential point. To Jiva Goswami's language, you can't understand God without accepting that he has unlimited and inconceivable potencies, and when you accept that he has unlimited and inconceivable potencies, it's easy to understand him. He can do whatever. But so, persons that say, let's say a theist, a monotheist, a Christian monotheist, will say, you know, as soon as you start going down the path of the Lord's form and his pastimes and his loving exchanges, he can't do that. He can't look like that. He can't look like this. He can't look like the boar. Well, why not? Because he can't. That's why he can't. But is he limited or unlimited? Unlimited. And how you say he can't? That if that which is unlimited, then you ascribe form, then you're limiting him, because now he's got this form, and that's limited. But it's not a form that's limited. There's such a thing as form that's not limited, because it's not material. That doesn't compute with the mind. Because anything with form, prescribing or circumscribing its dimensions and by that form. That's by material calculation. And spiritual calculation is no. Form, that's unlimited. Potencies are unlimited. So, from the spiritual world, he assumed this Lord Varaha form. And after completing, he returned to the spiritual world. leaving the demigods protected and satisfied and happy, giving Maitreya subject matter to discuss with Vidura so they can both become happy. Tushanticha, Ramanticha. Giving us the opportunity to hear these pastimes so many ages later by the same method. We should be very careful the sources that we hear from. There are some devotees, even devotees that have been around for a while, somehow they still hold this idea. What's the harm? You're speaking Krishna Katha, Hari Katha, Ram Katha. What's the harm? Just saying the Lord's name and describing his pastimes. What's the harm? So somebody comes to town and is doing this da-da-da-da-da katha, and let's go. Invite all their devotee friends. Want the temple to make an announcement, let's go. Hear Hari Katha. What's the problem? Persons that are not in this line of disciplic succession, and they may be good singers and good speakers and charismatic talkers and attract a following, one has to be very careful. Hearing in disciplic succession and whose heart is singular, just to glorify the personality of Godhead and progress more closely in one's relationship with him and do that service for others. That's the kind of persons we should hear from. And then have this discriminating factor that says we don't do otherwise. Okay. Any discussion?
So, in the purport we read that if a person hears from a Mayavadi or the impersonalist, they can never, I don't recollect the exact words, never appreciate or never understand the personality of Godhead. So my question was, is it that even if that person gets an association with devotees, still they won't be able to understand ever, or?
What do you think?
I think that if a good devotee association is provided to that person, for certain the association will have an impact.
Sure. Probably several of us in this room have heard from wrong Mayavad sources somewhere along the way. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave his association to Prakashananda Saraswati and all of his associates. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, similarly, and all of his students, similarly. Oh, confirmed.
Is there like an ocean, like the Garbhagatraya ocean in the spiritual world?
No. The forms of Vishnu are for the material world. Those forms of Mahavishnu, Garbhagatraya Vishnu, Shiradakshaya Vishnu, they're absent in the spiritual sky. They have their realm here for the purpose of creation.
directions. Two different directions, actually. So one is when we are talking about unlimited aspects of the Supreme Lord, this is also related to one of the lectures I was hearing, I think you gave in Chicago, pondering upon like how we talk about also some measurement.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Okay.
And then you emphasized on the point that those dimensions and quantitative figures are given just so that we get an idea,
yes.
get a sense.
Yes.
So that means like when it is stated that 1/10,000th the tip of a hair, it could have very well said 100,000th the tip of a hair. It wouldn't matter because it's a spiritual dimension. Is that proper understanding? That specific figure doesn't have much relevance.
I'm not. Two things. I wouldn't go editing Sri Tishvatara Upanishad. Which is not what you're saying, you're just asking a directional kind of question. I would also say no, that it's not the same, because I'm not really clear on this, but there's a tip of a hair, and when I was in College Station, Texas A&M. One of the persons in the audience was a PhD in physics. So, you know, when I started speaking about angstrom units, he, you know, got really animated. And then, you know, right in the middle of the class, he said, the tip of a hair is, you know, 10 to the 100th power, and you divide that, and you know, so the math in his hand. So many angstrom units. That's the tip of the hair divided by. So, that's the Paramanu, that's the atom. That's the atom. And then the soul is, you know, is subatomic. So, it seems that there is some reason, because, like, you know, Krishna is unlimited, with that same Paramanu phrase is in one of the verses of Brahma Samhita. Eko piso rachayatam jagadanda kotim, etc. Where the verse says, I worship Govinda, whose expansion as the Purusha form has all the universes existing within him, and at the same time is existing in his fullness within every Parama Anu. So go back to the question. Something that's spiritual, how can you give a material measurement of that something that's spiritual? So in that sense, what you're suggesting is, yeah. And for purposes of getting this picture, that because the Paramanu is the smallest division of matter, although within an atom there's particles within the atom, but you know they make up an atom, so that's the smallest division of matter in that sense. Anyway, so it seems important to keep the measurement, although it's just to give us an idea.
Thank you. The second question is about hearing. I have seen that so right now our ISKCON society is very diverse, and with so many wonderful speakers, and I would say they themselves have also so many strengths and emphasis that they place in their own speech. I have seen that the devotees get attracted when they find that there are certain speakers who are going beyond the boundaries of Srila Prabhupada's books, particularly bringing in their past knowledge of Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya and trying to give commentaries on, long commentaries on Ramayana, and get into those spheres. And because they don't get to access those materials within Srila Prabhupada's books, so naturally they feel, oh, this is a big chunk of information for me. And it's also the speaker is very nice, so they get naturally attracted. And the, what happens is that for that devotee, especially like in the beginning stage, because they are not strongly grounded in Srila Prabhupada's books, they keep like going in those directions and never get that focus back in Srila Prabhupada's books. I'm just sharing something like based on my observation. So, would it make sense to kind of share that, okay, first let's build a foundation in Srila Prabhupada's books instead of like playing too much into all these different areas which are not particularly coming from our disciplic succession. Although it's bona fide, but it's more important to be first fixed in Srila Prabhupada's books. I'm just clarifying, what should be the...
Well, there's other examples, other areas of embellishing outside and beyond, you know, purposely, deliberately. For the wrong reasons. You know, even within our own tradition, making references that are not sourced from Prabhupada. Or not taking the trouble to say, here's the source over here, and here's Prabhupada saying it over there. So it is grounded. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, our postgraduate study, Prabhupada did recommend a serious student should study such and such. But that's for the postgraduate level. And I agree with your analysis, and that what your question is what to do about it, or
so if
could we move in this direction instead of that direction? How can you? Where's the signal for that one?
So if a new person, if I observe that they are
when you have the opportunity to train people, train that way. Yes, I make it a point regularly, as you know, to emphasize and emphasize and re-emphasize and re-emphasize again and again, citing Prabhupada's books. And when I speak, I sometimes make references to Bhakti Sandarbha that's not outside our tradition, but it's not in language that Prabhupada gave us, but it makes it clear a point that Prabhupada gave us. Or the point that Prabhupada gave us is derived from Jiva Goswami Sandarbha's, for example, that there isn't anything in Prabhupada's teachings that are outside of our disciplic succession. And even, you know, Viraragavacharya from the Ramanuja Sampradaya comments something. So, Prabhupada was not allergic to making other references. But, back to the point, you know, our speakers, that the faithful follower
that needs to communicate the same point that you made, the importance of becoming very, very, very familiar with Prabhupada's books. And then the other references can be made, but sparingly. And making sure that those other references circle back around and reaffirm, you know, faith in our founder Acharya's writings and teachings. That's the root. Otherwise, over a period of time, things will dissipate. And that's almost for certain, as history repeats itself, it's almost for certain going to happen. Splinter groups. And some want to go over there. It's already going on. I want to go over there.
I have two questions. One is about hearing from the authorized sources. I have quite a few experience, especially in family ceremonies and functions where the family priest, especially is coming from the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. They talk about a lot of things, and it is totally like mix and match of so many things, and they're bringing a lot of their own perspective and communicating that message very strongly as affirmative message. In one of the occasions, I was trying to individually go and meet that person and try to say, is this the understanding? And then when I had a little discussion on this, like, it gets like an offended or the host, or it's a very immediate family, and they are getting like, oh, why are you trying to correct, or something like that sort of situation. How should I deal when somebody is talking, you know, in an immediate family situations?
And then the relationship.
Or is it okay to just, okay, what are you talking? Okay, good, and not buying it.
Yeah. You're there for social reasons, anyways. But it's depending on the family and the priest. You can say something, or not.
The only thing which I could convince, you know, like, it's like I said, like, there's so many things, and I particularly like the fact that I'm chanting the holy names of the Krishna.
Yeah.
And this is my capacity, this is what I could do it, and the other things what you are doing is all fine, but I'm not in a position to, you know, to do all those things. I just want to stick with this and, so that's the only thing he said, okay, that's good for you, and I could get escape from the situation.
There's so many, this is an interesting discussion, but I don't know if it's the right form for this interesting discussion. And, you know, what the options are, how you can deal with situations like this. There are many, it depends on. Depends on the person. If you. Here's one thought. Just out of the 10,000 possibilities, here's one. My dear Acharya, Prabhu, is one of the scriptures that you accept as authoritative as Padma Purana. Oh yes, very authoritative. And if you're familiar with the Padma Purana verse that says this and says that, oh, you know that verse, that, like, you know, then they'll, you'll understand that you know something. And that, so the emphasis upon the holy name. And, you know, the essence of all spiritual teaching is found within the holy name. And so, not like putting the other person down, but say, in the tradition that I'm living according to, there's this strong emphasis on the holy name. And in this age, persons are not so qualified for other... We can become qualified to access other things through this porthole or this medium. And so I have great faith in the holy name. And my dear Acharya Prabhu, the Padma Purana is an authoritative source, correct? Yes. Are you familiar with the Bhagavat Mahatmya section of Padma Purana? And are you aware that Padma Purana glorifies and glorifies and glorifies a whole big section, the Bhagavat Purana? So the primary source in the tradition that I'm involved is the Bhagavat Purana. So the combination of these two, the Bhagavat Purana and this importance of the holy name, that's where my faith goes. You're not judging the person or putting him down. You're not arguing a point or something else. You know, it depends on the person and family. So you may want to take issue to something. I mean, I was in a situation, I did it privately, where this is just anecdotal and can go on and on and on and on and on and on. And on. But I was in Tennessee. I was invited. That the local devotees wanted to try to kind of get into the door of the local Hindu temple. So there was a function, and I was invited to speak at a function. And the beginning of the function was of a priest from Udupi, who was conducting a function, and it was a demigod worship. And, you know, I had never sat through any one of those. I left after it started, once I understood what was going on. But it started Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, because, you know, I never knew that. They invoked the bhokta of the yajna at the very beginning. And then on and on and on, Ganesh and this one, that one, they went, and so on. So I, afterwards, you know, there's the cordialities with the priest. I just, in that cordial discussion, I was very direct. I said, yeah, I hope you don't mind my being very direct, but I'm very clear about Madhva's teaching. And Madhva was worshipper of Vishnu, would it be Krishna and all the... So how can you do this demigod worship? How can you do that? How can your conscience allow you to do that? Because you know better. These other people, they don't know better, but you know better. I said, well, I have to make a living. And he said, are you aware that the main person who built this temple and is maintaining the temple is a cattle rancher? Are you aware of that? He said, yeah, but I have to make a living. I said, you know, may Krishna protect you, because you're going to need it. So, you know, it was really direct. And, you know, I wasn't saying it in a mean spirit. It's just like, wow. I never saw the person again. I don't know how it impacted him. But, so, I was appealing to his, he knew better. But now he's making purposeful compromises, or knowingly compromising. But so like this other situation where somebody's proud and they know mantras, and they're not going to listen to anybody. Their hearts are very hard. So if you could just open their heart a little bit, that's good. And not just be a dummy that says, depends on the person, how to handle the situation. You have something? What's up?
So when Krishna, when you pray for a serious thing and Krishna does not fulfill it, why does he not do that?
Why does he not do what?
When you are praying for something serious to Krishna and if he does not fulfill it, why is he not fulfilling it?
That's your question?
I think she means serious trouble.
Yeah, trouble.
If somebody is in a trouble, serious trouble, and everybody is praying for protection, then why will Krishna not remove that trouble?
That's the question. Well, there's several things. There may be many things. There may be a higher purpose behind the trouble that we don't know about, but Krishna knows about. And it may be that the time isn't now, it's later. Krishna will remove the trouble when that higher purpose, like the higher, sometimes, trouble is there to help the person who is going through trouble to experience a deeper and deeper and deeper feelings of dependency upon Krishna. So Krishna may want to make their feelings of dependence deeper and deeper. Like, an example that's coming to mind is Bali Maharaj, when Vamana took everything from him and then he tied him up. After he gave everything, he tied him up and he had him tied up like a criminal, because he promised 3 paces of land to a Brahmin and he only gave 2. So he broke his promise. The king broke his promise, tie him up. And there was this commotion going on, people saying, that's not right. And some people said it was right. And then Vamana spoke and said, I just wanted to show how exalted is Bali Maharaj. That even there was appeal to release him from some difficulty, and it didn't happen, he remained faithful. He didn't become disturbed. Just see how exalted is his devotion. So not only he'll be released, but I'll grant him a kingdom even better than the kingdom that he gave. And I'll personally be his gatekeeper to keep bad people out. I'll stand at his gate and protect the kingdom of Bali Maharaj. So, may that happen right away. And although people are saying, help, help, help. It can be, that there are different circumstances, but it can be to increase one's feelings of dependence. Then another kind of difficulty has directly something to do with people that are heavily involved in karma. Here's an example that Prabhupada gave. Did you know that Bhaktisiddhanta had one German disciple? Didn't know that? There was a German professor that heard about Bhaktisiddhanta, so he went all the way to India to meet him. And he eventually became his disciple. And Prabhupada was also a disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta. They had conversation. So this German professor told Prabhupada, during World War II, the Germans were praying to God, oh, we have this difficulty. Please remove the difficulty. And then the other side, they were praying to God, oh, we have this difficulty. Please remove this difficulty. And when their sons or their father or their husband didn't come back from the war, they became atheists. God didn't answer our prayer. We were praying, and He didn't answer our prayer. So we become atheists. But when we want to engage God in our fulfilling our demands, it's the wrong relationship. So He's not obliged. God is not our order supplier, Prabhupada would say. So there's many factors. Always guaranteed, Krishna is the well-wisher of all living entities. So sometimes living entities have to go through difficulties for understanding the error of trying to be an enjoyer in the material world, independent enjoyer. Just like sometimes your mother may not provide something when you want something. And you may think, why is she, you know, it's reasonable. She's not supplying. You say no. So why is she not saying yes? There may be some reason. She may try to offer an explanation. So living entities sometimes want something from God that's not really appropriate. They need to go through some difficulty for some time to understand the foolishness of trying to be independent enjoyers. So it could be many reasons why. Yeah. This is going to be our last question at the end. Yeah.
Maharaj, regarding hearing.
Regarding?
Hearing.
Cheating?
Hearing.
Hearing. Okay.
In Sri Sampradaya, there is one particular speaker who is totally aligned to what, Sri Prabhupada's commentaries.
Hmm.
And he speaks from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And some of our family members are totally inclined to hearing from that particular person because they are comfortable in hearing from him since he speaks in the mother tongue, So, and some of us emphasize or from Karma Kanda, but is it okay, we can encourage our family members to hear from him or should we?
I would take it a step higher and say, oh, you like hearing nice lectures in your mother tongue. Here's a whole big supply of katha in your mother tongue by really wonderful speakers also. I mean, that would be preferred. There must be, I don't know the names of persons that speak in Tamil, I would assume, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I would assume there's Tamil speakers that speak very, very elegantly and elevatedly, and just invite them, why don't you try this? I've done that with more with Telugu speaking people.
So you mean from ISKCON?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm sure. I mean, I don't know names right off the top.
Okay.
But, one very simple possibility is write to Bhanu Swami and say, I could write to Bhanu Swami and say, can you recommend somebody with a Tamil-speaking Bhagavad Katha person? Because there's some families that... Look at that. Probably give the names. That would be preferred. At the same time, part of what the influence of our founder Acharya is, he has influenced people who are Christian ministers, and they speak Bhagavad Gita's message without calling it Bhagavad Gita's message. because, you know, they've appreciated through their association with this kind of Prabhupada and Prabhupada's message. I could give examples, but Bhakti Tirtha Swami had initiated a disciple who was a Christian priest. And he just speak, you know, Prabhupada's message from the pulpit. You know, and in his home he chants 16 rounds. And then speak. So, however, somebody that's not trained like that, when they mix in other stuff, there's two things. Faith doesn't go to the right place, and there's confusing messages. And, you know, the messages are because somebody doesn't have the proper understanding, and or they feel it will attract people, so it will increase their numbers. So it includes some of these other things. Or they can other motivations as well. But it's, the mix is not ideal.
So could you refer...
I'll write a letter today.
Okay, thank you.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.